So I got that Teen Engineering
Oh, yeah,
box
yeah.
thing showed
Yes,
up.
we talked about it on Sunday.
Yeah, so it showed up. Yes, mm-hmm. tried to show up yesterday. And the FedEx man was like, got a sign for it. I was like, this is such a pain in the ass. In the FedEx thing, you can have it redirected to a Walgreens.
Whoa.
And Walgreens is like, yeah, just come get it. So I was like, there's no fucking way this is going to work.
It's lovely that all these brick and mortars are figuring out ways to be trying to grasp yeah. at straws to remain relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cheaper than FedEx opening a bunch of Amazon lockers.
True.
So, and then I picked the one, the bougie one, up on North Ridge between like Patterson and River Road.
Ooh.
The lady was like, hey, how are you? She's like, you here for some wine? And I'm like, what? It's like, oh yeah, people have wine delivered here all the time. So it doesn't like sit on their porch or whatever, and it has to be signed for. So she opened this lock, this like locked cabinet or whatever behind her, and there were three cases
fair.
Of wine in there. Yeah,
yeah, of course there
I was.
Was.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. And you said, stick them up.
And she said, oh, okay. Well, you look like the sort of person that would be in here to pick up a case of wine. And I was like,
it ain't no easy thing to do, but watch this.
Hi, how are you? Can I help you with something?
How you doing, man?
This is the Safest Month Podcast, where Adam and I get together twice a month to use bad words to talk about things we like.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm ready, Mike.
Ready, you say?
Could be.
No, then I have no choice. I'm compelled by podcast law to ask you if you are enjoying a drink.
Get it. Mike, I am having an old pal tonight. Do you know, are you familiar with the old pal?
I'm not familiar with the old pal.
The old pal is kin to the Boulevardier.
Mm.
Also the Negroni. Show favorite. The old pal is where a Boulevardier is a bourbon, Campari, and sweet vermouth. The old pal is rye, dry vermouth, and Campari. So not wildly different, but definitely yeah. like a nice little fun twist on the flavors that are going on.
Those are pretty different.
In all
though.
Three drinks. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I had heard of the old pal before and have had it on my mind to make it, but I usually just keep blended or sweet vermouth in the house, not dry. So I went out and bought. Some dry, just for this occasion.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
How about you?
I'm enjoying just a little Russell Reserve 10-year bourbon with a little bit of ice. Nothing crazy. Keeping it real, real simple.
I will say you put me on to the Russell Reserve when we grabbed lunch the other day. Stopped at the ABC store afterwards. And you said, this has been a good one lately. We've been enjoying it. And I picked up a bottle. I've since purchased two more bottles. So.
Yes, yes. And we did not have lunch a month ago.
I was hoping you wouldn't air me out there. But sure.
It's my edit. I'll take care of you. Don't care about it.
Mike, before we get started.
Wait, before you get started.
Whoa.
Do you have me turn down your headphones?
I don't. I need to.
Because I'm hearing me big. I sound like a robot.
I'm hearing me big. How about now?
Oh, it's much better.
Okay. There we go. We'll fix that. Well, what's called? That's an easy
we'll fix
like
it post.
scrape up, do a little noise cancel before I send you a foul.
Do it. Perfect. Poor
Mike, before we get started.
Yes.
Folks should know that we have a Instagram at safeasmilkpodcast. We have a show notes and a merch located at safeasmilk.fireside.fm. I love when you copy the notes over and still include the old Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And it is just one line of text, but man, does it throw me wildly off.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. That's what that is. Every
Correct.
Time.
Correct. Mike, if you don't mind, I'm gonna go.
You go.
Follow-ups. Quick
follow-up city.
Abbott Elementary, still a banger. Season 3 in full swing. I think 8 or 9 episodes in. They make a lot of. They ended up making a lot of these every season. I'm assuming the same is going to be true for season three. It's been excellent. Like this is like makes us happy to watch it because it is uplifting and fun and positive. And man, do we laugh hard watching it. It is so.
I will say, it's been a little for us. It's been a little more uplifting than it has been fun and funny.
I could see that. It's, yeah. There's some mess. I mean, there's definitely like a message.
Yeah. Which is a point of the show, and they've never shied away from the message.
Correct.
But
the balance has always been more delicate and imperfect previously.
Yes, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think so. I would agree. It needs a little more Zach Fox.
I also think plot point of this season is that Janine is away.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And her being away. I don't know if that's contributing to that feeling of like,
it is for sure
of the different. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But I'm here to say as follow up, we still love it. We're still watching.
Still love it. Still watch it. We try to watch it on Wednesdays.
Okay. So we are usually like catch up on two or three at a time.
Yeah.
We are one behind right now, but it is fun to sit down and watch them in a batch.
Yep. Agree. Yeah, I got thrown off this week because they tacked one on, or the other week, last week, because they tacked one on after the Oscars.
Correct.
So they had missed one, and then we had two in the queue for some reason. But yeah. No, but yeah, still real good. Still a big fan.
Two in the queue. That was episode 178 that we talked about Abbott Elementary, so a good while ago.
Yikes.
Even further back, if you could imagine. Episode one of this podcast, I talked about the Adventure Zone, the McElroy brothers and father, their D&D podcast. It's been going on now for I think they just hit the 10-year mark. Their newest series, Adventure Zone versus Dracula, is a D&D play where they are in kind of the classic monsters averse. And they are all hunting Dracula, and Griffin plays Dracula with a big, dumb Dracula voice. And it is excellent. It is really, really like a really good, like not a return to form because I've always enjoyed Adventure Zone and I always stick with it, but this is a really good series. Like they've done lots of different arcs. This one is excellent. Highly recommend.
Man, I do love Dracula's.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty good. I'm not going to listen to that podcast.
What I will say is what I appreciate about this D&D thing and compared to other D&D thing, these are not long. Like, a lot of the other D&D stuff I listen to, podcasts and shows alike, they're pushing hour and a half, 2 hours, like movie length for an episode. And it is a little off-putting to like try to kind of pick it up, put it down. These are under an hour. They keep it tight. And I really appreciate that.
And they're funny?
Very funny. Yeah, this is a vehicle for them to do dumb improv and bits.
Yeah.
In character and in out of character occasionally. Yeah. Much more on the humor and entertainment side than the mechanical or even kind of like really cool storytelling, even though they do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. Maybe this could be where I get in.
Give it a whirl.
Give it a spin. I'm going to go ahead and in Family Movie Corner, Michelle and I made an effort, a strong effort this year to try to see all of the Best Picture nominees. There are 10 of them now. There used to be 5. It used to be an easier game to play. Now it's quite difficult. 10 movies is a lot to fit in a given season, especially since you don't know the nominees till the end of the year, but they all are taken from movies from earlier in the year. Except for the batch they release just to get in on the Oscars. It's a bit much. But we saw 9 of the 10, and I'm going to just run through a quick thumbs up, thumbs down. Some of these I think I may have mentioned previously, but a lot of them I haven't, obviously. The Holdovers, the sort of small Alexander Payne film starring Paul Giamatti. I'll give that a tentative thumbs up. Past Lives, starring Greta Lee, who I only knew from the television show Russian Doll. Big thumbs up from me. Anatomy of a Fall, mostly in French, starring Sandra Hüller.
You talked about that one. That was the court one?
Yeah. French court, not for me. American Fiction, starring Jeffrey Wright, who I only know really from Westworld. Thumbs up. Big thumbs up on that one. An odd structure and cool, I think. The trailer makes you want to crawl into your chair, but very good. Oppenheimer, massive thumbs up. Absolutely deserved to win Best Picture.
Probably
the best picture this year of the ones that I saw, and I saw most of them. Just full of really good actors doing really good job the whole fucking time. It's fucking cool. Christopher Nolan makes movies that look really cool. We saw this in the theater, and the sound was just outrageous. I'm not an IMAX guy. I don't enjoy the experience. It's too much movie for me. But we did see this one in a pretty nice theater, and it was quite good. Kills and long, but not painfully long. Killers of the Flower Moon. I mean, I'll give it a thumbs up because, again, it was full of real good actors acting real good. But it seemed like it was about 45 minutes too long.
Would you tag painfully long on it? Like where you did not with Oppenheimer?
I would not go painfully long.
Okay.
It seemed like the 45 minutes could come out, but I'm not sure from where. It's that kind of thing, like, because it looks unbelievable. It was just kind of, I don't know. It made me feel bad because people are bad. There's not redeeming shit in this one. Zone of Interest, we didn't see. That was the one we did. That's the one we missed. That's the one about the summer home next to Auschwitz.
Also talked about this. This is the too much of a bummer for you all to have interest in watching it.
But one thing I learned after saying, I don't know if I can watch this movie because it'll be too much of a bummer. Technically, I read something that said the scenes that were filmed inside the house were done without a crew. All of the microphones and all of the cameras are hidden inside the house. So the actors are just in there acting, which is super duper interesting. And I'm really kind of curious to see how it looks when that sort of thing is the way you go into it. Don't know. Now that the push to see them before the award show is through, it's less likely that we'll make time for this one. Poor Things, by far my favorite of the movies I saw this year. Just Bananagrams, I already talked about on the podcast. Barbie, also talked about that one. Big thumbs up. Just deeply, deeply, deeply weird. Like art house weird, and real cool. And the 10th one is The Maestro. Just Maestro. The Bradley Cooper written and directed story of what the fuck's it? Leonard Bernstein's life. American songwriter, composer. Big thumbs down. Just a, I don't know if it was like written badly or maybe Leonard Bernstein is not cool or good. Carey Mulligan, who was also in this, was outstanding. Really the only reason to see it. It's, boy, it just was not, what's the word I'm looking for here? It was not good.
Yeah. Did you see the Abbott Elementary where he was on?
I did.
Like did like I a did. 5 second like, cameo and they made reference to the Oscars?
They did. They did. It was that was the one that came on after the Oscars.
That's what I figured was the case. Yeah. A little weird. I didn't know if I cared for that.
It was weird. He's a big Philly guy. Like yeah, it's a yeah, whole yeah. thing. Yes. But also just like I'm a little Bradley Cooper'd, sadly. But that's some of that's on me, but not not Maestro. That's all on him. And I didn't like it because I didn't think it was good. Dan Soder, who you just talked about last episode, his stand-up comedy. Listen to that on a lengthy, not lengthy. My road trips aren't even long anymore, but on a little road trip that we took, super funny. We played the YouTube video through the speaker so we could only hear it. So you lose a little bit with his faces and stuff. With one exception, real strong, real funny. There was a bit in the middle, which I was like, didn't need all that. But otherwise, like real funny jokes. And I think I've talked about it a little bit
because
it's showing up in my Instagram reels, I guess, or whatever.
Probably has something to do with the fact that you and I are friends and sending stuff to each other stuff all the time. I get a fair amount of Dan Sutter stuff now, so you're probably bleeding over into your feed.
You did this. You did
this. Yeah, sure. Also, I can probably go dig through my feed and tell you what's from you.
I don't know that's the sort of thing that would be need to be shared publicly. And lastly, after the debacle of the creative Special K cereals, just a little bow on Cereal Corner for me for a little while, we were in the Whole Foods and I bought a box of the the house brand, the 365 branded Raisin brand. Did you ever, do you remember, did you ever have brand cereal around the house as a kid? Like All Bran or like old Raisin Bran?
Oh, old Raisin Bran, yes. OG Raisin Bran, yes.
Before they put sugar on it.
Like, yes. The one where, correct.
Are like sawdust. Just like really, really distasteful. It's not, it's supposed to just make doo-doo come out of you. It's not supposed to be a delight for the first meal of the day, you know, like it's medicinal.
And this is not a sins against, like, prevent you from committing sins against God. Cereal,
no,
which is
no,
the
no.
other, which is the cornflakes side of things.
Yes. Yes. This box of cereal, the house brand Raisin Bran, is exactly like that.
This sounds awful. Like, I everything you described,
but
yes,
three times as many raisins as a post Raisin Bran would have.
That's like, you know what, the treats were the raisins,
without question. Like, I poured a box and I was like, oh fuck, I think I just got I got every raisin in the box in this bowl. Like, I was, did they have it upside down? Oh no, the rest of this is going to be awful.
You know what? Good on them for giving you lots of raisins in your $15 box of cereal.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. That's just it, though. It's the house brand. It wasn't even expensive. That's the thing. It's like the generic, you know. I mean, it was not $4. It might have been a $4.50. But yeah, I was like, yeah. So I ate the whole fucking thing, and I'm just like, ugh. All right. Every day, I'm like, I'm chewing cardboard. But man, these raisins are good. I like people don't like raisins. Like, some people don't like raisins. I think they're,
you've strayed too far from the Lord's light with this trying new cereals thing. You need to return to just the things you know.
The things I know. Special K with Red Berries is the next box of cereal I buy.
Yeah.
Or perhaps a Cracklin Oat Bran. But I am months away from that.
Funny enough, the strawberry cheesecake one that we both talked about not liking.
Yeah.
So real quick, unplanned follow-up here.
Yeah.
Crystal Tabib, guest of the show, came back from the grocery store the other day.
Oh,
and
no.
She said while she's in the cereal aisle, she picks up another box of the cheesecake one.
Oh no.
And then is listening to the podcast while doing so and is one aisle over from the cereal and hears us talking bad about this cereal.
No way.
And goes, huh? And just shrugs his shoulders and keeps walking. And I was like, wait, do you
like it?
I was like, wait, do you like it? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, damn.
No way. So you have some in your home?
Yes, but
oh, dear.
She got a double. She got two boxes of the yogurt and fruit one that we like a whole bunch.
Yeah,
like the one that is my favorite.
Nuts and Plumps. Yeah.
Opened both of those and put them into. We have these like big Tupperware cereal things that things go in.
Yeah.
So right now things are good. Like those two boxes, I'm eating good.
Yeah. I love it. And that's all I got for follow up this week. Why don't you get us started with your first pick?
Sure thing. Mike, so first pick is not too long ago we talked about That Mexican OT, Lone Star Luchador, on episode 218. he has come out with a new album in 2024, Texas Technician. And that is my pick. This is not a producing thing super fast. Lone Star Luchador had been out for a while before I made it a pick. But this new album is maybe 3 weeks old. It came out the same exact day as previous pick, Blue Lips from Schoolboy Q. So I've been listening to both of these kind of together. This has been a lot of my listening lately, is listening back and forth between these two albums. The suggested song here is A Date. It is February 2nd, 1999.
Can't nobody tell me shit, cause I got cutters, motherfucker. Bitch, I'm burnt until I die. No, I can't be nobody other. So my chopper is the only thing we got, is just each other. I'm the type that need the walls up when they ballin', cause I'm gutter. I ain't fuck your sister, bitch, I'm just a motherfucker. Nah, I'm lying, I knocked her ass down too, and we got in lots of trouble. Fuck Mexican OT and fuck his rap, see, just a bitch. Oh, I'm virtual till I die. No, yes, sir, I'm with the shits. On 288, swinging elbows like I'm in the UFC. My chopper got a mind of his own, so if it shoot, it ain't on me. I stay out the L because I'm a G. Bad bitch with me, she stay on fleet. Miami heat up, a shoot, shoot a three, call my chopper kid because it knock out a knee. Yes, bitch, I'm cut, throw no love, ho. We gon' get them done, foe.
pop out with these sticks. I told my Theo, let that muck blow. Mismatch my design, that got me feeling like I'm Luffo. Hit a bitch, can't afford my washer, and I ain't got time for itty bitty bro. Ho. Hey, yo, is that Mexican OT?
Which presumably has some meaning in his life. I don't know what that is, but all I know is it makes me feel old to think about that day in relation to what a rapper would be talking about here.
Groundhog
as young
Day?
As he is.
25 years old?
Is it?
Ago? Well, February 2nd is Groundhog Day traditionally, and that was 25 years ago.
Could be when he was born.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, correct, correct. In any case, this album, similar to Lone Star Luchador, it's just like it's not the consistent rap album, but no most rap albums aren't these days. Like no very rare is the Blue Lips album that we talked about in the last episode that is like I listened to the whole thing from beginning to end. This is more of a pick and choose the 3 to 4 good songs in this thing and add them to a playlist and then listen to them a lot. He is still very similar to what we talked about previously, just incredibly fast and creative with his bars. Most of the tracks feel like they are built to be played loud in a car, which I like a lot.
Yeah.
This suggested song included in a couple of others here. There is a Paul Wall feature. There is a another Paul Wall feature, since we've already talked about a previous song with a Paul Wall feature.
Paul
this one
Wallers?
Called is called Chicken Strips and Ass.
That's just fucking great.
And Paul Wall's on it. Paul Wall's great.
Yes.
Slim Thug is on this thing. Moneybag Yo. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
I'm not familiar with Moneybag Yo.
Old friend of the show, DaBaby.
Is on
a song here, and it's pretty catchy. Yeah, this thing is not in the ways that a 4-year wait to get a new Schoolboy Q album felt like very rewarding in terms of what that product was, which was like what felt like a very thoughtful and deeply kind of like creative in layers album. This is the opposite of that, and I love it almost as much in its ability to just like not super care. It just sounds cool. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be, not every album needs to be deeply thought out if it's just entertaining and good to and like fun to listen to. And that's this. Not much more to add beyond that. Like, it's a lot of what was already on offer from That Mexican OT. If you listen to the previous album, Lone Star Luchador, this album, Texas Technician, might be for you as well.
The in 02-02-99, he does a little bit of rapping in Spanish. Is there a lot of rapping in Spanish on the record generally, or
mixed? Even the last album had a decent amount of it. It's not the primary. Like, you're not. It is not a 50-50 blend.
Yeah.
Like on both the Paul Wall and the DaBaby song, I don't think there's any. Not that I'm opposed to rapping in Spanish, but I don't know that I would seek out something that was more Spanish rap album than other, because I don't speak Spanish. It's also what it rolls down, like,
right? Yeah,
boils
yeah,
down
yeah.
to is like
yeah.
I do. We've discussed this before. You're more of a lyrics man. I'm more of a vibes man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I still like good lyrics. No, this there is he speaks both. It is his origin. He definitely dips into it periodically.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
I think you could argue that a fair amount of his flow, even in English, is kind of influenced by Spanish rappers, essentially. Like, Spanish rappers have been a thing, and this is like New York. This is like Chicago drill influencing New York drill, influencing London drill, and then the whole like snake eating its tail kind of thing.
Yeah,
a little bit like that.
Nice. The video is a little silly. But the grills are, I think, immaculate would be the word to use here.
There's another song that I've been listening to recently that it's not from Mexican OT that references Johnny Dang, like we've talked about.
Yeah.
And yes. I like it every time the lyric comes through. I'm like, yes, this is
so good.
What I am here for.
It is so good.
But Mike.
Yes.
That's my first pick. Texas Technician. By That Mexican OT. What you got?
My first pick this week is a television show called Shogun. 5 episodes in. It's on FX. It's a television miniseries based on the James Clavell novel written in 1975. Also in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a TV miniseries that was produced and was wildly popular. Kind of an odd choice, IMO, to reboot the property here in the 21st century, but apparently it is a timeless story set in, what do they call this here? We'll call this feudal Japan.
Yeah.
I guess 1980 was when the last miniseries ran. Let's see, your little tagline here. Shogun follows the collision of two ambitious men from different worlds and a mysterious woman samurai. It's pretty slick. You know, it's definitely got Game of Thrones vibes in that there is some action,
a lot of
actual fighting.
Yeah.
And also a lot of sort of cultural intrigue. Most of it's in Japanese and subtitled. The main English speaking character is named John Blackthorne, which is kind of a badass English dude's name. Basically he tells the most of what you understand is through him and from his point of view. All the Japanese is subtitled, so you never get lost. But it's an interesting sort of fish out of water story, except this fish is, in 1600s Japan and from England. Because it's on FX, it does have the violence, like the blood and gore,
yeah,
that you wouldn't necessarily get on a network television show. I don't think there's like nudes in it. There was a little coitus in an episode where it was like subtly lit or whatever and sort of trailed off and the camera turned away kind of
deal. This is not an HBO or a Max show.
No. And that's one of the main ways it differs from a Game of Thrones. But I don't think they go too crazy hard into the gore and violence. I mean, there's some gnarly shit that happens.
It feels like very quick when it happens, and it's not that often. It's not leaning on it too much.
Yeah, it's not like glorified. It's just sort of the camera doesn't look away from the gore. There are 5 episodes out. The most recent one, as we record this on Wednesday, March 20th, came out just last night or just yesterday.
That is what I'm doing after this episode, I think.
Oh, you're going to knock out and catch up on number 5? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a 10 episode series. It's the whole novel. I don't think it's going into a season 2 situation. And honestly, what it's got me doing is, cause the novel is like 1,000 pages. Like it's one of those big boys from way back. And, it was wildly popular, sold a gajillion copies, obviously inspired a television show. And now, 45 years later, another television show. But it's like 1,100 pages, right?
Are you thinking about reading the book?
I am absolutely thinking about reading the book.
Okay.
I may make it the summertime read.
Did you ever watch the miniseries?
The old one? No.
Yeah.
Never did. Never
I
did.
Watched the miniseries when it
so
re-aired
you know how it ends.
In the early 90s.
Really?
Watched all of it with my dad. Like they ran an episode a night, like on some channel.
Oh, damn.
And we tuned in and watched all of it, and I have very fond memories of enjoying the original miniseries. So I'm very much enjoying this thing for many reasons beyond the fact that like that was like maybe some of my first exposure to like feudal Japan, like in media, to a certain extent. This show was really well done, and I've also been thinking about reading the novel.
Yeah, it's going to be a chore, but I can do it.
Sure.
I think I can do it. I'm actually very curious to hear how long the audiobook is.
Ooh, I'll let you know.
It's got to be 100 hours, plus. Easy.
Looking here at the Wikipedia, Mike, not just because it's fun.
Yes.
Based on the novel, there's, of course, the 1980s, the 1980 miniseries.
Yes.
There is this show that we are talking about right now that is excellent.
Yes.
In 1990, they made a musical?
I didn't really look that hard at the Wikipedia page? Did they really? Why would they do
that? Yeah, I'm just saying this out loud. This is something I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
I don't. And then there was only two video games ever based off of it, 1986, 1989.
Oh, so they're probably ridiculous.
Correct.
But the music is probably killer.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, lots of times we talk about TV shows, especially when they're new, we give them some run before we recommend them. Because, you know, a pilot is usually kind of a banger. And then sometimes they fall off. But I feel comfortable halfway through the 2024 miniseries Shogun to recommend it as my first pick this week.
I dig it. My last pick this week, Mike, is a video game. It's called Pentiment. It is, I think what stands out most about it is its art style. It is like a block cut, it is a like block cut art, medieval era, like book, how books were printed, either handwritten by monks or like the early days of like early printing press, like when books be started to get popular with like the masses. So like, it stands out with its art. But it is what you are actually doing in the game. It is a almost blend of like a mystery game and an adventure game. There's not, and even giving an adventure game, like a Escape from Monkey Island, kind of like, connect, like attach these two objects you found together to solve a puzzle thing. It's not even doing that. It is doing a ton of narrative work. It's almost fair to call it like an interactive story as opposed to a game. There's very little.
Did you ever play the Grickle game? Do you know Graham Annabelle? Graham Annabelle's an artist who made a video game, an iOS game, that is a lot like this, where you have to go sort of solve a mystery. You know about the hidden people, like garden gnomes? This is none of this makes any sense.
No, I do not. I do not. None of this. Okay. None of this is a reference I get. Yeah.
Ah. I will say that I will not put it in show notes.
Okay.
In protest.
But I'll take it up.
Yeah. Graham Annabelle's cool, and art is great, and he's funny. But also the hidden people, which are basically garden gnomes. Those garden gnomes are models.
So is it the hidden people game? I played the game called Hidden People. Is that the same thing?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is. It's like a super almost silly looking cartoony thing, but it's, but there is genuine menace in these little motherfuckers. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is not the same thing then.
Yeah.
In any case, Pentiment a game where you are, a character trying to solve, murder mysteries essentially. And your interactions with other characters and what you decide to go investigate progresses time. You do not get to, it's not the kind of game where they're like, you'll get it if you essentially just lift every rock up. That's how most video games work when it comes to mystery stuff. This thing branches and forks story-wise based on how you choose to spend your time investigating what you're trying to investigate or the conversations that you're having or the one dialogue choice you get to make in a conversation versus the two others. Those, you're set in your ways. You're like, you're set down a path once you do so. And that's where it really shines, is its ability to take your choices from a dialogue perspective and turn the story down different paths. It does a really great job so far of hiding away. Have you heard of the narrative diamond inside of video games?
I have
not.
Like
the illusion of choice. If you were to play a Mass Effect, right, or some other game where you're making all of these story choices, like the narrative is a diamond. There are only but so many choices, but there's an illusion of choice when you begin at the, if we're like thinking about starting at the bottom of a diamond and going up to the widest points.
Oh, but you only get to the end.
You're getting this feeling that you have tons of influence over the world and what goes on, but eventually you start to see the rails where it starts to bring you back up to the point at the top of the diamond.
Yep.
This game, at least so far, because I'm not through it yet, is fantastic at hiding away what at some point has to logically be some narrative diamond under the hood in terms of like accounting for all the choices you might make and branching the story accordingly. No, it's a very slow burn. It is a lot of reading, at least in video game terms.
I'm a super good reader. Wait,
you are.
This is documented.
I think this game is.
I know
for
lots of
you,
words.
Mike.
Yeah.
Like this game is big, Mike energy.
Oh, the BME.
Yes, correct. This game is made by also a studio with some pedigree that I really enjoy, Obsidian Entertainment. Fallout New Vegas, which is ages ago now, but like very well known for creating that game, one of the best Fallout games ever, specifically story wise. Outer Worlds, which is like a big Fallout style, like first person combat and narrative and kind of RPG, slightly open world, but a little bit smaller than like. But a game I really enjoyed. I don't even remember. Maybe I talked about that on here at this point, but I couldn't be bothered to look it up. In any case, this very small game, it's very 2D, very kind of cool and unique art for a video game, at least, a story adventure game, mystery game, is excellent. I'm really enjoying it. And last bit I'll say here, because I always do it, is I'm playing it on the Steam Deck. This thing is on the Switch. This is the perfect game to like lay on a couch and play through, lay in a bed and play through instead of essentially sitting in front of a computer or a controller.
Sit in a tub and play through. Yeah,
correct. You could
go to the movies and play through.
So they're selling Switches for real cheap these days. burner Switches by the tub.
Yeah, I actually bought it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet based on some of your recommendations before that. I loved the trailer. It made it over to Switch in the last couple weeks, I think, right?
Yeah, it came to PlayStation Switch, yeah. And Switch. It was previously a Microsoft exclusive.
Yeah.
But I'm playing it on the computer, but specifically on the Steam Deck. And that's Pentiment is my second pick. An excellent little video game.
My second and final pick of the week is a pair of movies I refer to as The Dunes. Dune... Part 1, released in 2021, and Dune Part 2, released just a few weeks ago here in 2024, are the film version of the long Frank Herbert book. I'm not sure did you ever read that book?
I read Dune before going to see the first movie.
Holy shit, so you read it recently?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I enjoyed it and enjoyed the first movie. Have not seen the second movie yet.
Ah, well, let me tell you, friend, if you enjoyed the first movie... You will enjoy the second one.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, this is good old-fashioned hard sci-fi with a little bit of magic. Denis Villeneuve was the sort of creative force, helped with the screenplay. He was a director. He's one of the producers. It's got that tasty little treat, Timothy Chalamet.
Mmm.
As the
fresh off the heels of Walk,
as titular Johnny Dune, who does a bunch of cool shit in the desert sands, including
it is fun for a future man to be named Paul.
Yes,
speaks to the time period in which the book was written.
Yes, you know, that's actually an excellent question. When was this book written? This book was written in 1965, so it's completely reasonable that the future would be named. Paul.
Correct.
You know, that was probably kind of a futuristic name in 1965.
Yeah, we'll keep using Christian names all the way through.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah,
30,
the Bible is forever.
Yeah.
Sort of epic two-part hard sci-fi films are kind of a tough sell here in the house for lots of reasons,
sure.
As we've discussed. Specifically the sandiness and the
dustiness. Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't like dry things.
We don't like dry things. That's right. That's right. And I have to tell you, Michelle stayed awake and engaged through both films.
That's
impressive. Watched the first one.
I think you could stop. You know what, Mike? You could fucking cut off your dumb recommendation right now. That's Michelle's two thumbs up.
Whoa, this dusty-ass movie stayed awake and engaged? Shit, I'm in. Like if you would be hanging up the phone on me right now and running to the to the theater. Then surely there's a 10:15 show. Yeah. And your shit would be there till 1 a.m., pal. The second one is not as long as the first one. The first one is lengthy but thorough. But yeah. It's we watched them in the same week. This was not anywhere on my radar, but the younger kid was home for spring break, and we were like, yeah, let's, and the first one hit streaming, sort of prepping people to go see the second one in the movies. So we saw the first one at home streaming, which frankly, because it's so long, was the right way to do it. You get up, you make your tinkles, you have your waters, etc. And then we went and saw it in the theater on the like Thursday, like 3 days later. So it was all very fresh, all of the sort of the weird, you know, because in these movies, in these stories, there's always like, you know, there's rockets and lasers and shit. But there's always like some magic too. You know, I mean, it's Star Wars.
And a lot of characters and name and plotting that like could go a little over the head, especially 3 years removed.
100%.
Of like, who are these people again?
Agree. So doing them sort of back to back like that with a nice buffer in between, and frankly, in two different venues, was really the way to play it. Just real good and cool. If you enjoy a science fiction story, it's real solid. It looks incredible. It's real, real good. Definitely recommend it. I read the books. I read probably four of them, I think, before I fell off. 100 years ago. So I get some of it, and there were a handful of scenes where I was definitely like, I remembered them, you know, like I remember them now. But the ideas and stuff more than dialogue or anything. But it really landed super duper duper good. If someone recommends this movie to you, they're not some just dumb nerd. The only couple disappointing pieces, we did go see Dune 2 the weekend that it opened, but our theater, I don't think any of the theaters in our area got those kind of fucked up popcorn boxes that had the worm teeth. So that was disappointing. Our theater seemed to have what appeared to be a kind of a janky bootleg t-shirt for Dune 2 that would have been very tempting to buy if they had a size other than medium.
You sent a picture of it. It was cool.
I did send a picture of it, and it definitely looks like some shit you would have gotten from Burger King when Return of the Jedi came out in 1982 or 3. The Dunes.
Go ahead. This is a follow-up. I talked in episode 138, I finished reading the Dune book in anticipation of seeing the movie in 2020 when it was originally supposed to come out.
Pandemic in so
many
ways.
And talked about how much I enjoyed it. I'm looking at the notes now.
Really? That's awesome.
And then the movie came out in 2021, and we probably did a follow-up on it.
That's
I think
great.
You and I both saw it and enjoyed it when it first came out.
I didn't see it.
You did not? Oh, okay.
Nope.
I definitely read the book in anticipation, talked about it here on this podcast, expected it to come out in 2020. Something happened. It was April 2020 when it was supposed to come out.
Oh, wow. Drag.
Then picked up and watched it. Got, like, it slices up the first book almost in half. And man, did I, like, walk out of the theater being like, well, I need to see the second one now. Like, I really liked the story. I knew what was coming in the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And now I am, I don't like seeing movies in the movie theater. That's the only thing that bums me out right now, is I really want to wait until it comes to TV.
Really? You know, why don't you like seeing movies in the movie
theater? I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I also have to convince someone else in my house to also have time for that. And that's very rare that we both have time for that.
Yeah. And then have the time and then pick the same thing to go on and go see.
Correct. It's just not movies in the theater do not suit our household at the moment.
Yeah.
They will in the future. I know it.
It's coming.
And I look forward to it.
Yeah.
But I think I watched the 2021 one at home because I don't know if I was back to theaters at that point.
Yeah.
And man, am I waiting for like Godzilla Minus One to finally hit streaming, because it's not
pretty
yet.
Excited about that one. Pretty excited about that
correct.
One. I want to say we saw, it won the Oscar. So it won an Oscar for something.
I think it's special effects stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, trying to get the whole really family good. Out of the house to go watch it, and I couldn't convince them.
I think I might be able to sneak that one in here for the two of us.
I don't think it's in the theaters right now.
No. I mean, it's not in theaters. No.
At home.
Yeah.
I've sold that already. I'll be able to watch that movie when it comes to streaming, but not the point. We've strayed from the path. Dune the book, excellent. Dune the first movie, good. And per Mike,
and I'm
Dune
here to
the
tell
second
you,
movie, excellent.
The Dunes are good, good, good movies. Definitely cool. Recommend them. That's why I made them as a pair. The Dunes are my second and final pick for this, our episode 229.
229. Mike.
Adam.
If folks wanted to find you elsewhere that wasn't this podcast, where might they look?
I am Falfa, F-A-L-F-A. Most of the places you would go and look for someone on the internet. Where are you?
I'm at 180lunches.com and 180lunches on Instagram.
And just like that.
Just like that.
The podcast was made. We'll be right back.